It's our Tua. It's our Tua. It's our Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's our Tua. It's our Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Our Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of
Our Tua on the program, ladies and gentlemen.
Dude, I was flicking through the channels. Was it Monday? Start watching the new version of The Librarian. Have you ever seen The Librarian?
No, you say the new version. What was the old version?
Yeah, it's a new show. It's a current show. It's been around for a while. They've had movies, shows, you know, or whatever. But now the new version of the show is out. CPH is on there. I was like,
"What? Just for research purposes, what is this? What is this person's name?"
Jessica Green. She's Australian. I was like, "Oh yeah, go ahead, watch the rest of this show."
Oh, Jessica.
Hey,
The Librarians. It exposes the truth about librarians.
There's some nice eyes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it,
and she's 5'9". Hey. Oh, she a tall one.
She's taller than most of the people that she's on the show with.
She married.
Man, can I just tell you, sneak? It don't matter. She can still be pretty and be married. I don't want her. I got my own problems. You know what I'm saying? like I got my own family. I love the way people, you know, go there. Right, Vlad, I'll say that's a nice looking woman right there. Right, you're married. One ain't got nothing to do with it. She's still gonna be a good looking woman whether I'm married or not. Right,
yeah.
Everybody get all up in their feelings. It don't mean nothing. But yeah, so I was watching that the other night. I had seen a few of the movies, so I was just it was in my peripherals. I say, oh, let me see what's up. But yeah, so
she was in the movie Air,
huh?
She was in the movie Air.
She's been in a couple of movies. Like I've seen, there's a couple other people that I've seen in movies, and then I'm like, or shows, right? Like Law and Order used to be the stepping point of all stars. Like I've seen Zoe Saldana in there. I've seen so many people, right? On these shows. So it's just like if you watch NCIS New Orleans, the one dude was the kid in Fast and the Furious when China Drift.
The country boy from
Exactly. So he was in, I watched NCIS New Orleans, he was in that show. Black. Is his last name?
Lucas Black.
Lucas Black, yeah. So, yeah. Or, like, so, other than that, though, Vlad, let's do this.
Come on, talk to me.
So, we've seen how this camp has gone.
Yes.
Right? And I'm a believer in order to do something, you have to make a conscious effort. However, it ain't gonna matter till everybody actually does it in a meaningful moment, right? So sometimes when we do things in life, right, we trying to learn new things, right? This is a big thing with golf, right? You try to learn something to fix your swing. When you get in those pressure moments, you revert back to your old self. So the whole point of learning something new is kind of getting that out of your system, the old stuff out of your system, with repetition and consistency and dedication to fixing it, right? Are we ever going to know, even with what we hear in practice, are we ever going to know if this coaching staff and this team is actually more physical until we see those moments in the game where physicality is required?
I think you've been stating this for like the last two seasons now, that the way this team will be able to change the narrative and stereotype about them is that they're going to have to run the ball and dominate the offensive line, the line of scrimmage. That's what it's all about. And,
right.
And nobody's going to give them their flowers and give them the respect or believe in them until they do this in December and January in against competitive
right.
playoff teams or on the road. That's all. Mm-hmm. Until you see that, until you see them running the ball. Like,
correct.
I think, what was the game last
year? They don't even have to be the best in the league.
No. But there was a game last year. What was it? The New England game last season. When mm-hmm. they won, they didn't have, Tua was hurt, but they ran the ball. They just kept on running the ball, even though we didn't want to see Alec Ingle running the ball all the time. But there was a definite tone set that we're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. We're going to keep on running the ball between the tackles, running the ball with Alec Ingle. You know what we're going to do? Try to stop it. It was an actual right. tone-setting game, and it was something that you would have hoped that they would have emphasized and kept on doing through the rest of the season. Because
right.
everybody still, I'm telling you, that 70-point game a couple years ago against Denver was the root of all evil, because everybody's going crazy, yeah, fastest show on turf. And then you realize when it's December, January, all of that doesn't matter. It's about winning the line of scrimmage.
Correct.
No one's surfing in December, unfortunately.
But the problem, here's the thing. The thing that bothers me about all of this is, if you look at the teams that have had success, it's either with the offensive, defensive line, or both, when you look at Philly, right?
Kansas City, too. That's the teams that are continuously win are the teams
right.
that have great line of scrimmages on both offense and defense.
Right. So what I'm saying is nothing new to football. It's just that there's always the guys that think, oh, we're going to change that. And you know what? Throughout the history of football, we've been saying the same things. The team with the best offensive line, best defensive line, are usually the teams that win in December and January.
See, what frustrates me with Coach McDaniel was that after his rookie year, they asked him what were anything he can do that he learned, or what the things that he learned from his rookie year that he would like to change and, you know, be better in. And he said he would love to run the ball more in the second half of the year than he did in his first year.
Right.
So we were right. like, oh, okay, cool. You're going to run more. You know, save Tua from being hit or being in the pocket with the chances of being hit. It hasn't happened. Hasn't happened.
But I think, and this is my point that I've made at the beginning of the camp, is that sometimes coaches outsmart themselves. Like, you look at a person, and here's how game plans work. The coaches come up with the game plan the previous week. So while we're working on our current game, they're working on next week too. So that's why a lot of times they're out there a lot. You know, they're at the facility a lot because they're trying to stay one step ahead of the players as far as preparation. You come up with a game plan, okay? The game plan is set when we get in on Wednesday morning, right? Then we practice, and then they watch the film after practice, and then they determine what we can or can't do or what looks clunky, and you kind of adjust the game plan throughout the week so that it – you know, you're trying stuff during the week, and then when it gets to game plan, you're doing things that you feel that the coaching staff feel you can accomplish and that you feel comfortable doing, right? Sometimes coaches don't even give the players an opportunity to compete, and they determine that, oh, we can't block this guy, or we can't do this, so we need to come up with an alternative way of moving the ball. That's why I think consciously they wanted to run the football. But sometimes you see a player struggle and you kind of take it out of his hands and you start saying, okay, he can't do this. He can't do that. We need to come up with a game. And you start overcoaching the situation. You know, sometimes you got to just line them up and say, do better. Do better. And we just kind of, and so that's why I just wish Mike would kind of step back, right, a little bit and kind of still stick with what you want to do and push the players to be better at it versus trying to find a plan that lets the player be lazy, right? Oh, he can't do that, so we won't even try.
These headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
I got to take a time out because I got to go fight my lawn guy. He just looked in the window.
All right, well, Leroy's going to fight his long guy. We're going to take a quick break and come back and discuss a playoff football team who may be losing a key cog over in Washington. That and much more on the Tobin and Leroy Show. And gotta unmute this, mute this, clean feed, whatever the heck going on. It is Device Shirt Friday on the Tobin and Leroy Show. Our boy Leroy took a step back to do whatever the hell he's doing. If it's not a long guy, it's a cool guy. But
you know what? It is what it is at this point.
I also wanted to get your opinion on this from yesterday's story that we had discussed. Gilbert Arenas, as you know, in the headlines as of recent, Vlad. It has been described as a high stakes, high reward poker opportunity that has been held at an Airbnb from a moment of time. Do you think, by any chance, that this was something that was egregious, that he shouldn't be, you know, as punished for? Or is this something that you think is going to come back to haunt him in the long run?
I mean, I would like to know a little bit more because obviously, you know, Gil likes to troll and everything like that. But I mean, it just sounds weird for people to be in trouble for having poker games. Like, that happens all the time. So it doesn't matter if it's for $10 or for $10,000. It happens.
What if it was for more than that? So what? At a certain point, like when I agree. It's my money. I should be allowed to spend it or wager it the way that I want to within the privacy of my own home. But at a certain point, when does the state take notice and be like, hey, you got to pay some taxes on that
thing? No, you can't. I mean, why? Why? That's not why people got to pay taxes. If, no, man, get out of here, man.
Then why doesn't everyone just start a business in their crib? Just like, yo, slide through for the Uno night. You know, Uno is becoming a new casino game.
It's gonna be a casino game.
How are they gonna do that? How are you gonna make Uno a casino game? How is that, like?
They'll figure it out, man.
I mean, it's not necessarily like, because I'm like, it's a long game you're gonna play. Because how many times have you gotten down to two cards? And then all of a sudden, boom.
They set off saying that was debunked about the...
That was debunked? Yes. Uno Casino debunked? Wow, this is the first time hearing about this.
I'm so sad.
Let's see. Uno clears up confusion on casinos. Confusion arose. Oh. It was a temporary promotional experience centered around playing Uno and not gambling. Mattel explicitly stated that casino floors are not ready for Uno gambling. That hurts my heart.
Uno social club. Yeah.
All right, so what games would you need to add to a casino then? If Uno's off the market, what are you adding to? I Declare War. How about that one? Me versus the dealer. 1, 2, 3, 4. I Declare Thumb War?
Spades. Or do we do... Spades off number one. Spades would be it.
Okay, you're going to add spades, but like then you also have to add security.
No, not if you're doing single-handed space. Whoever wins the most books wins.
And you also have to have
now, if you're playing spades, no. If we're playing spades with partners, then you have to.
That's what I'm saying.
But we're not playing spades with partners. You're playing spades against the dealer.
Single spades.
Right, you're playing spades against a dealer. Now, if you're playing spades with partners, and you know we go Caribbean West Indian style, then you definitely need two security guards at the table.
All right,
Tom. And you got to allow the person who wins the chance to do to do everything that he wants.
You know, you gotta allow him. Like, what you mean?
Like when he's about to drop that last domino, and he's got to go he's got to do the performance, got to go through the antics and theatrics. You gotta let him do it. Yeah, you gotta let him. You know, especially if they win, like, because you know, so when we play dominoes, if you have a domino that can win on either side, that's like two wins. They call that in Creole, they call that Jacques, you know, or Dirk Abbess, whatever, right? So if you're able to do a Jack, and you gotta let the guy do it, even if he has to like go all across the room and just starts running, do a flip, somersault, you know. 360 in the air, and then throw it on the table and break the table, you got to allow them to do it.
Look, I'm going to be honest. That's going to be part of the entire allure of the game.
That's the allure. The trash talking and then just to hear.
The final move. People are going to have this like they're going to be practicing and choreographing their mom. I'm going to be like, yo, mom, backflip off the roulette table. Come back over here, roll a six. If I roll a six, I'm doing this. If I roll a seven, I'm doing this. And something crazy.
CeeLo should be alive. CeeLo is kind of alive in Vegas, but they just don't call it CeeLo. But
yeah, it's different name. Different name.
But they should allow CeeLo. They should have like a little wall. Like that's like a little
just,
brick.
Just like
just standing right there on the table. Just have it's perfect. You know? Yeah.
That brick needs to be imported too. Like you can't just
It can't just be
regulation.
Like, nah. Take it back.
I like the idea of like I declare war or whatever it's called.
Declare war.
Because that gives me a 50-50, doesn't it? Doesn't it give me a 50-50 versus the dealer at that point, or versus like obviously if there's more people at the table, but you know if I'm last I checked the rules are I think you get like four cards, you turn over the fourth or something like that, right? Like. Something along the lines of, I want to be able to turn my card over. My card is higher than yours. I should be able to win. That gives me 50% chance. Dates out to spades is advanced. I declare war.
I guess.
Look, I'm not sure, man. I think there's some money that they're missing out on. I thought the entire idea of Uno was going to bring a whole new demographic of people.
Are you bringing a whole bunch of kids who think they could
play
Uno?
But how do you regulate that, though?
I don't know. I don't know, bro.
Are you okay? You have to set the official rules of Uno for the casino.
And the wild, the take four in the wild is going to be crazy.
That's what I'm saying. So you tell me, because there's various versions of Uno that we've seen already, but you need to be able to regulate this to the point where there's no question, no one is worried about their money. How much is a buy-in?
Can you stack up your cards?
Correct. So let's. But like, and also the financial portion of like, let's say, you know, in poker at a certain point, you feel like you got a good hand. You can throw in some more money. Can I throw in some more money at a certain point? Or is it just set value? You win this game, you get this much. And honestly, like you said, the biggest question though is going to be, can I stack these draw fours? Can I stack a draw four and a draw two? Can I stack a reverse?
Can I stack the skips?
Skips, yeah, it's really going to be a matter of stacking, and I mean, what's money on the line? What do you say? See,
that's tough.
I think
the worst thing about Uno is if you have like two people playing, and that person have eight cards left, and then they go skip, 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 double four, skip, skip, skip.
You
skip,
he's out. Done yeah. and done.
You mad?
You really? But that you sometimes you there's players who wait for that moment where it's all right, you winning. Okay, boom, I got all these stack cards ready to go at you.
Right,
and it's like
They put together combos. They
I never play for money though.
See, that's where it gets. Now, if you had to play for money, what would be an appropriate rate? You're going to be at that table for at least 10 minutes, if you think about it. Like, at least 10 minutes. Usually, games of Uno, even when you're down to that last card, all of a sudden, stack, 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 double, double. Now you got 62 cards. But what would feel appropriate for, like, time? I'm thinking at the minimum, you got a $25 buy-in. We got four players, so there's $100 on the line, minimum.
Hey, you talking about... doing this at a casino?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You can't do Uno at a casino.
I mean, like,
but
that was
I will say they do have war.
Oh, see, that's what I was trying to ask. Like, what?
Because you can't. Version? It's hard to play Uno. It would have to be like in a poker.
A poker room. Yeah, you'd be.
Because you can't do it like a board game, like in the middle of the casino, and now all the rules become a little shaky. So it's not even worth having it, because, you know, you could go play Uno at Vlad's house and then come play at my house, and people have different rules, like with dominoes.
That's what I'm saying. We need a sort of, like, not a rule book, but, like, we all need to come to an agreement that this is going to ride this way. Like, if you do stack, you can only stack one, for example.
But that's only one-on-one.
Nah, we have to have, but then we have to make it worthwhile. See, I understand why Vegas said, nah, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pass on this. But the marketing opportunity is there, I promise. There's just so many damn stipulations.
But if there's too many stipulations, keep in mind, Vegas sets up games where they're going to have an advantage, right?
True.
And in most of the games, do you know what game has the shortest Vegas odds, and that's at 51%?
Baccarat.
Correct.
Oh, I made that. I mean, I didn't make it up, but
it is. Nice. It is. And the only reason why it's 51% is because if you bet the dealer, you got to pay VIG.
If I bet the dealer, and I don't even know what Baccarat is. It's just my
YouTube algorithm. It looks like blackjack, but you don't even figure out whether you hit or not. You have to hit when it's time to hit, or you have to stay.
Oh,
there's no so you don't even make any decisions on hitting or staying.
Yeah, so my YouTube algorithm, for some reason, has been flooded with this overly tattooed guy who's described his success in casinos, and the game that he says gives him the best odds is Baccarat. And he kind of explains, like, this, like menu 631 says, it's player versus banker or something like that.
Yeah, but you can be the banker.
Yeah, like the banker isn't the dealer. It's just, you know, you either want your red one or the blue one, whichever one you want.
Right. And they have the little cards where they document everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I get scared when I go to blackjack tables. One time for Bucks and Bets, I went to the blackjack table, and I think I had like 20. And for some reason, I was like, hit me. And the dealer looked at me and said, no, bro, you have 20. Just stay where you're at. To the point where he just was like, listen, I feel bad for you. You're clearly an idiot. Just please listen to me. I don't want to take your money. But I can imagine that I've seen some stories where if you start winning too much, the casino's like, hey, buddy, you got to go.
Oh, man. Phil Ivey, baby. Phil Ivey and a partner of his realized there was a card company who makes the cards that there was a defect with the cards. But it was the cards company. They were just able to realize that there was a defect. And he went to, like, multiple casinos in Europe and was just cleaning them out. Cleaning them out. Wow. Yeah, to the point that they were just not allowing him in the casinos. And it was like a whole fight and had to go to court. I think he won. But simple fact of the matter is that.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy that if you win too much, they don't want to pay you.
But at first they'll keep you. No, Mr. Horde, stay, please, stay, please stay.
Yeah, because they think,
hey, penthouse suite all nuts, please stay.
No, for
and
sure,
then
for sure.
They want you to stay there, and then for you just to lose the money right back. That's it.
Right.
Yeah, this guy was describing that the casinos would give him a private jet to use, even where it's like he said that he was having a party in one, you know, state. Wanted a hat that he had back in California, hopped on the private plane to pick up his hat, came back to the party. That, like, just to say, you know, whether or not he's exaggerating, the use of private amenities and stuff like that, because they do feel eventually this guy's going to give it back. This guy's, he's going to somehow pour it back into us. And more often than not, they're right. They're definitely right. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do what we do on a Friday. We're going to attempt to tickle Leroy's fancy with this weekend's biggest events.
You fancy, huh? You fancy, huh? Are you fancy, huh?
Time now to tickle Leroy's fancy. We're going to go ahead and take a quick peek at this weekend's biggest events and see if any of those things interest Leroy. Leroy, are you okay?
I just found out what was wrong with my pool.
Oh, no. What was it?
Remember I have a saying? I'd be so happy if it wasn't for people.
Yeah.
Some got stuck in the pump and the driver shaft broke because it couldn't turn.
Ooh.
So I had to get a new pump.
What got stuck in the pump? If you know, even?
Beads from hair.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah,
baby.
So very, very clearly not yours. So I can imagine.
So I yell every time he goes, don't leave crap in the pool. I pulled goggles, got stuck in hoses. So I'm just so like, because when I get mad about stuff, I know this is where, and everybody says relax, but when people tell you to relax, it's because they ain't got to pay the $3,500 to change the pump.
Yikes!
Yikes! Right, exactly.
So that's true.
I'm just like, you know, I like. I'm mad at myself for not being more of an ass because I realize what the ramifications of this is. And now because I was nice about it, I'm the only one that's going to suffer through this. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Financially and the fact that, you know, obviously you're a man who enjoys his pool on the regular. So
yep, pretty much.
And right now, whomever the person is who broke it has no idea.
I don't know. Because everybody going to say it's not them. So, like, I ain't got forensics on the items, but I know, you know, I always have to go and clean up the crap that's in the pool that people left in the pool.
Well, if you like, I know a guy who changes my oil. He's my dentist, and he does BBLs on the side. He's also a forensic scientist if you need him. He works at a Hialeah. I can get you him. But in the meantime, I have a community pool that's right next to your PT. You know, it's not the same, but, you know, if you like, you're more than welcome to come by. Let's go ahead and start attempting to tickle Leroy's fancy. This weekend, let's start with Inter Miami. Tomorrow, they play in game two of the group stage of the League's Cup versus, I was told to just say, next. But
yep, I heard that too, next.
Speaking of next, it kind of seems like our boy Messi's been fired up and was at these people's necks this last game. I'm going to show you what happened in the game clinching goal, what happened immediately after with our boy Messi as he confronted the other team, that he gets the assist right there, then immediately goes back and circles to the other team to aggressively be like, yo, get off of my boy. And as you can see a little bit after that, you see him, you know, cursing, yelling at number 7 here. And after that, he even went and grabbed someone by the back of the neck. Like, you know, when the dog holds their puppy or an animal holds by the neck and you're like, does that hurt? It kind of looks like it hurts. It was kind of one of those moments where the goat was like, listen, if you're going to come at the goat, make sure you don't miss. This is him afterwards yanking this man by the neck right here. So Messi all fired up for this League's Cup, apparently.
He's got Napoleon complex.
look, he is a little guy. He is a little guy, but I can imagine that him being the GOAT and being a little guy.
Messi lost his cool again. That happens a lot.
No, but you know, when the, you know, they just looking for anything.
Maybe right. It was again in that game because he, you know, he confronted him immediately after and then took some time, took off his shirt and decided, I want to come back and yank a different player. Maybe it was, I think this is a different number. So, like, our boy Messi is fired up is what I'm trying to say, long story short. So I want to know if you, if that tickles your fancy potentially watching our boy in action this Saturday.
I'll try, right? It's like I'm not going to sit down to watch it, but I will, if I come across it, spend some time on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So it doesn't tickle your fancy, but if, you know, potentially you stumble upon it, you wouldn't be surprised.
Yep.
Well, I know Vlad's going to be checking this out for sure. The New York Stankies are making their way to Lone Depot Park.
I don't know no team called the Stankies.
Oh, I apologize. New York Yankees, a.k.a. the team that the Marlins have farmed talent for decades.
Ah, yes, we're going to play our minor league team. It's going
to
be great.
Yes, exactly. They're coming home to play their minor league team today at 7:10.
Wow.
Let's see if little brother could topple them like they did, what were we at, 20-something years ago?
2003 World Series.
22 years ago?
22.
But who's keeping count? Who's keeping a record of that? Anyway, the Marlins yesterday made a move by trading Jesus Sanchez, but they do have a prospect who is going to be debuting, outfielder Jacob Marcy. So seeing the rookie and seeing the Yankees, does that, Leroy, is that
it,
something?
It does. You? I like to see, like, one of the things that
my
I've been
fancy
following.
Is tickled.
I've been following with this team is all the right moves that Peter Bendix has made with the young talent, with the guys that he's brought in. And so if he's going to trade a guy like that, I want to see if he's still, you know, if he got that touch and you see the new guy come in, see what, how he does.
All right, Leroy, another
thing. You know, they bring him in now so he ain't got to give up that year of service.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I'm sure this somehow, some way they managed to save money. I don't know how, but that's, you know, that seems to be a common theme here. But Leroy, what about this one? This is a cult classic, a film that has been remade, but is receiving rave reviews at the moment. Released today, you have an opportunity to see Naked Gun, the newest version starring Liam Neeson. The reviews are in, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, 91% from a couple other sources here. What do you think? Wow, does that...
The Great Taken is Frank Drebin? Unbelievable.
Come on. Right?
Hopefully he's not a parent. I would say this. I am not that interested in it.
Why? Because it's Liam Neeson?
Wow.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah.
He's funny, though.
He has special... He's got special skills.
Yeah, but I'm used to seeing... You can't... Hold on. You cannot go from Taken 17 different versions to Naked Gun.
Yes!
Okay. All
right. Look, I'm going to send you the trailer, Leroy. It's kind of funny.
I've seen it. I've seen the trailer because I was interested.
Wasn't he Hannibal in the A-Team movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, y'all don't show my man Liam Neeson love because you always see him as Taken in the Gray.
But yeah, I see him as a bad father, apparently. Because
who doesn't? Yeah, who always got to save his daughter from some type of...
Just completely, like, put some security on her, dude. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Kids are kids, especially teenage daughters. But nonetheless, you telling me you don't think Liam Neeson could pull a little Frank Drebin?
I think, from what I've seen, I thought it was pretty funny. It looked
I'm
pretty
definitely
funny.
Watching that.
All right.
I'm going to compare it to Happy Gilmore and see which old back in the days movie was a better...
What was your review of Happy Gilmore?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, okay. So Leroy, a non-spoiler review. What was like your rating on that one?
I would say it rates with all the Adam Sandler movies that if you're going in there looking for an Oscar award performance, then like you're looking for the wrong thing. If you're looking at silliness and bunch of cameos, then you're in the right place. I would say this. I think this movie did more for the PGA Tour than it did for Happy Gilmore. Because so many guys who you've known to be stoic, to give the, you know, give answers that don't show any of their personality, right? You have a situation where a lot of these guys who you think of in that light showing personality and showing that there's a different side to them. Number one, I think this movie was excellent for Scottie Scheffler.
What a month for right? Scottie Scheffler, right? You win you win the Open. You tell the media that winning's all right, but you know, what is it really? It's like 2 minutes of, you know, fleeting of excitement, and then you're back to regular life. And then you win to prove your point. And then you're like the star of a movie that everybody's been waiting to see a sequel to.
You know what's funny about that? One of the few regrets I have in football.
It's a good year.
Is that
you didn't do Ace Ventura?
When we were 15-1,
ooh,
we were just looking at, you know, okay, next week we go here. Next week we go here. Okay, in 2 weeks we go into the Super Bowl. We lost the championship game and then look back and go, wow, we won 16 games that year and we never really enjoyed it because we were always looking ahead. And I wish that I had taken it in a little bit more because that's not something that happens a lot. So I never really got to enjoy it, and the disappointment of it took over. You know what I mean? I think sometimes you need to sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor and to appreciate what you're doing. And so while Scotty, and it's different for Scotty because, like, he could win a big-time event but then got to get ready for next week. Having practice next week for the All-Star or something weird, right? Like, yeah. You thought you reached the pinnacle, and in golf, you never really reached the pinnacle because you're getting ready for next year. You're getting ready for the next tournament. So I just wish guys in that position sit back and enjoy it a little bit. That don't mean work less or anything like that, but enjoy it because when it's over, you're going to regret not being able to enjoy some of the fruits of your labor.
Did you think you guys would have beaten that Denver team?
You know what's weird?
Because I don't know if anybody ever asked you that.
I've always had success against the Broncos. But here's what I would say. We would have went into that game like a mash unit. Because a lot of guys got hurt in the championship game.
You think you guys would have been favored or they would have been favored? Because both you guys were like... You were 15-1, and they were what, 14-2?
Yeah, I would say.
But then
we would have probably been favored. But here's where it gets difficult for me. I know playing a team like that, it's physicality. Like you got to be able to just pound it, because you know a lot of things they do were up the field, so you had to pound it and be patient with it, and then take your shots.
I figured they would have tried to hold the ball against your high-powered offense.
And then they would try to run it. And our defense wasn't, you know, I don't think our defense might have been top 15 because we were outscoring everybody. And it gets skewed a little bit when they got to take more chances. I would just say it would have been interesting because – when you think about teams that win a Super Bowl, you think about two rush-ins, you think about guys along that line on the defensive line, and we really had John Randall and some other guys, right? It was going to be offensively if we were going to win. And that in itself, when you get in these games to say we're going to win because of our offense, it's not that it can happen, but that's not usually how you win. In those games.
Would the 2 weeks have helped you at least with these injuries? Because, I mean, you would have that bye week before.
A little bit. I walked with a limp until March.
Yeah, but for the Super Bowl, you would have had Super Bowl adrenaline. That limp,
that
limp would have been a strut.
That's what we would like to think. But I'm just keeping it real that I walked with a limp until March. I don't know.
Super Bowl. But Super Bowl adrenaline and
keep in mind, maybe it was that way because I knew there was no more football. So let me also be clear on that. Robert didn't finish the game.
The NFC title game.
Yeah. We had one of our linebackers tore up his knee. I don't know, man. I would like to think so. We did a lot of things similarly, right? As far as, you know, throwing the football and offensive football, we did a lot of things very similar. So it would have had to be whose defense could stop the other team.
Dade South here says, I was rooting so hard for the Falcons in the NFC Championship game because of my dad. Who knew a player from that game would buy me a Cuban sandwich 25 years later?
You bought him a Cuban sandwich, Leroy?
Yeah, we go to our yearly baseball game. Yeah. And I took some guys over to get something to eat.
Wow, Leroy. You bought him a Cuban sandwich and they used you in video game consoles.
Yeah.
That was before PlayStation and or at least before the PS5 and PS1. Yeah. Pretty much. Xbox 360. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened? You hearing noises in the background?
Yeah. I did. Let me check on that. And we'll be back with
that's the baby.
Our next hour on the Tobin and Leroy Show.
Midday sports and silly sauce with Tobin and Leroy starting at 10 weekday mornings. Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Canes, and more. Tobin and Leroy with Marcos and Jay Fig on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Our sister station, Kiss Country, is bringing back Stars and Strings, featuring Dierks Bentley.
I'm getting drunk on a plane.
Tasha. Your boobs stop working, did your